You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Tuesday, July 20th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, we recap what was another fantastic Orioles win. They beat the Rays 6-1 at the Trop last night to take game one of a three-game series. The Orioles have now won three in a row and three of four to start the second half of the season. Then we're going to continue our Orioles 2021 MLB Draft Breakdown series. Last week, we talked about the Orioles' first two picks. Back on Thursday, we discussed Colton Cowser. Back on Friday, we talked about the second-round pick, Connor Norby. Today, it'll be the pick the Orioles got in the competitive balance B round. That was the 65th overall pick in the draft, the Southern Miss switch-hitting outfielder, Reed Trimble. And we're going to be joined by Patrick McGee, who covers all things Southern Miss athletics for the Sun-Herald, and has covered for 2 years the career of Reed Trimble at Southern Miss. He's going to join us to talk about Trimble's college career and his versatility, not only at the plate, but in the field as well, and what he can bring to the Orioles. And then we will look ahead to game two in Tampa between the O's and the Rays tonight. But that is all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by another pod here on the network. That is Locked On MLB Prospects. It's MLB draft season, and the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast is covering every future star of Major League Baseball. Host Aram Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every single day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. So we start today with something we haven't said a lot this year. Another Orioles win as the O's go into Tampa at the Trop in game one of a three-game series, and they win it 6-1 over the Rays on Monday night. Third straight win for the Orioles, first three-game winning streak since they swept that series in Houston a couple of weeks ago, and the O's are now 31-62 through 93 games here in this 2021 season. And I'm going to get you the five things you need to know from the Orioles' 6-1 victory over the Rays. And the first thing you need to know is that Spencer Watkins was once again just fantastic for the Orioles on the mound. And I got to say, you know, he had a couple of good starts. You know, his first appearance out of the bullpen was scoreless. And then he made two, you know, back-to-back solid starts for the Orioles. This start was on a different level for Spencer Watkins. It felt like those last two starts for him. You know, he got through a solid part of the game, and, you know, he kept the run totals down, and, you know, at the end of the day, the line wasn't anything dazzling, but, you know, it was solid enough to help the Orioles win, and the O's would take that. You know, five innings, one run, two Ks, three walks, three hits against the Blue Jays, and then four and a third, one run, four hits, 4 Ks, 3 walks against the White Sox, but he was on a different level last night. Career-high 6 innings for Spencer Watkins. He allows just 1 run on 4 hits. He strikes out 7, and he walks 2. 7 strikeouts for Spencer Watkins through 92 pitches, just 3 hard-hit balls against him in 6 innings, and the ERA at now 1.65 for Watkins. And I think the most surprising thing for Spencer Watkins is how good the fastball was for him on the night. He threw 92 pitches, 45 of them were fastballs. So that's obviously just a tick under 50% fastballs on the day. And it's a four-seamer. It averaged exactly 90 miles an hour. He touched 92 a couple of times, but he was basically 89 to 91 most of the night. It's, again, a four-seamer with not a whole lot of movement. But that thing just had the Rays fooled. I mean, he got 9 whiffs on that pitch, 13 whiffs on the night, 9 of them by the fastball, 12 called strikes. He was pounding the zone. It was a 47% CSW on the fastball for Spencer Watkins. That's called strike and whiff percentage. I mean, that thing was in the zone all day. The Rays couldn't square it up. Really, the only time they squared up that fastball was the Randy Arozarena RBI double in the sixth that gave the Rays their only run of the game. You know, he got a middle-in fastball and crushed it off the wall in dead center field. But other than that, they just couldn't seem to hit that pitch. He got a lot of the strikeouts, frankly, with that fastball. And, you know, it's not a pitch that Watkins is known for. He's known for a guy who likes to throw that cutter and throw in that curveball and try and mix speeds. No, it was fastball all day. And it was working for Spencer Watkins. I was really impressed. He has earned himself not just one more start, but many more starts. Even with John Means, of course, joining the rotation tonight, it's not going to be Spencer Watkins who's losing his rotation spot. He has found a spot. I mean, what a minor league signing, at least this looks like so far, by Mike Elias and crew. Second thing you need to know from the Orioles 6-1 victory over the Rays from Monday night is that what a job Austin Hayes did as a table setter with Cedric Mullins out. Now, the Orioles and Brandon High decided to give Cedric Mullins a day off because, you know, he really didn't get, obviously, as long of an All-Star break. You know, he was at the Home Run Derby Monday. Of course, he played and started in the All-Star game on Tuesday. And then, you're trying to get out of there, get out of Denver on Wednesday. Really, you only get the one full day off on Thursday, you know, until you're back to playing games on Friday. And, you know, a lot of guys really need that All-Star break time. And so Brandon Hyde talked about it. You know, he didn't get much of a break, so he gives him the day off. And he said he was available to pinch hit. He ended up coming in as a defensive replacement at the end of the game, but, you know, never got a plate appearance in the game. But Austin Hayes fills in the leadoff spot, and what a job he does. 3-for-5 for Hayes with a double, a couple of singles, an RBI, scored a run as well, had 3 hard hit balls, and played a solid right field all night as well. He looked good out there in that leadoff spot, and it gives you hope that, you know, if Cedric Mullins were to come down with an injury, or if the Orioles ever had to shake up the lineup, or whatever may happen, it does feel like Austin Hayes can also play that role of leadoff hitter, and he looked the part in that spot on Monday night. Third thing you need to know from the game is that the Orioles had a rally in the sixth inning. It was a big-time rally in this game. They led 2-0 after 5. You know, they had scored 2 in the first, and they were keeping the Rays at bay. And they exploded for 4 runs in the top of the sixth to really, you know, break this game open, mostly against the starter, Ryan Yarbrough. And, you know, a lot of that damage was facilitated by the bottom two in the Orioles lineup. How about Pat Valaika, who only had 1 hit on the night in a 1-for-4, but it was a big 2-RBI single that made it a 4-0 game in the top of the sixth. And then it was followed up by Kelvin Gutierrez, who, again, only had 1 hit on the night. He did draw a walk as well, but it was an RBI single following up Valaika to score him and make it a 5-0 game. And then Austin Hayes, you know, had an RBI double after that to make it 6-0. But, you know, great job by Valaika and Gutierrez. And again, you know, they are probably number 1 and 2 in terms of expendable players on the roster right now if the Orioles want to make any moves. But they are trying to keep themselves on this roster. And again, you know, it has been great. Valaika, a .488 OPS. Gutierrez, a .540 OPS. Like, it hasn't been pretty for either of these guys, especially for Valaika, who, you know, his bat was kind of a nice surprise for the Orioles last year. It has been one of the, I think, under-the-radar disappointments for the O's because he hasn't played nearly as often in 2021 as he did in 2020, but he has not hit at all, and that was a big swing for Pat Valaika. Fourth thing you need to know from the Orioles win, once again, we talked about it over the weekend, how good the Orioles bullpen was over the weekend to get the series win in Kansas City. Once again, just a dominant bullpen performance for the O's. Spencer Watkins with 6 great innings. Cole Saucer comes in. He works a scoreless 7th inning. Now, he did start the 8th inning, and he did walk the leadoff batter, but then Brandon Hyde turns it over to Paul Fry, who goes 1-2-3 with a strikeout. And then Tyler Wells comes on in the 9th in a 6-1 game. He goes 1-2-3 with a couple of strikeouts. He struck out the last 2 batters he faced on some nasty, nasty pitches there late in the game to secure the Oriole win. And again, those are 3 of your top relievers, Solser, Fry, and Wells. You could argue, you know, those 3 with Scott, that's your top 4 right there. They're starting to pitch well again, and that's a big reason why the Orioles are winning some games here in the second half. And the fifth and final thing you need to know from the Orioles' victory on Monday night at the Trop, kind of a somewhat cool moment for Trey Mancini. You know, good to see him have a really good game at the dish. 2-for-4, couple of singles, drew a walk, did strike out twice, but did score a run as well. And he came into the game with 998 total bases in his career. Well, he gets the 2 singles. That is 1,000 total bases for Trey Mancini in his career. And again, that's not some big milestone that people celebrate, or it's not any kind of exclusive club, but it's a cool number. And kind of every number that Trey reaches this year is obviously, you know, even more meaningful and more important. And again, nice to see him have a 2-hit game. And obviously, we're all hoping he starts to heat up once again here in the second half. But for the Orioles, it's been a good start to the second half. They win again last night. They've won 3 of 4, including 3 in a row, to kick off the second half of the season. And obviously, you know, even before the second half started, over the All-Star break, they were doing big things as well as the MLB draft commenced. And we're going to continue to look at some of the guys the Orioles took in that draft. Frankly, we're going to have a little segment on every guy they took in the draft. And today we get to the 3rd selection they made in competitive balance round B. That was the 65th overall pick. The Orioles took the switch-hitting outfielder Reed Trimble out of Southern Miss. He's a younger guy who was only a draft-eligible sophomore, but had some crazy good offensive numbers in his 2 years at Southern Miss, and also a versatile guy who the Orioles might be moving to the infield. We're going to talk about all that and more with Patrick McGee. He covers Southern Miss athletics for the Sun-Herald. That includes the baseball team, which had a fantastic season, making it to the NCAA tournament and being ranked in the top 25 for a lot of the year. Patrick's going to join us to talk about Reed Trimble, the hitter he is, the power he has in his bat, the versatility at the plate as a switch hitter, and the versatility in the field, and kind of what he can bring to the Orioles organization. So again, that's coming up with Patrick McGee. We are talking Reed Trimble after this break. So we'll get to chatting about Orioles draft pick Reed Trimble in just a second, but first, this episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to RockAuto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com, it's a family business, and they have been serving auto parts customers for over 20 years. And the prices, they're reliably low for every single customer. And the best part, they have everything you could possibly need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet, and much, much more. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On Orioles in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, so we welcome Patrick McGee into the podcast. He covers Southern Miss athletics over at the Sun-Herald, which includes Southern Miss baseball, and he is here to talk about Reed Trimble, who the Orioles drafted in the competitive balance B round with the 65th overall pick in the draft last week. And first of all, Patrick, thank you so much for taking some time and joining us on the podcast.
Sure, thanks for having me.
And so, you know, we have you on to talk about Reed Trimble, and, you know, this is a guy the Orioles took very, very high in this draft, 65th overall pick, and, you know, are trusting him with a lot. And, you know, first I do have to ask, you know, he was obviously a draft-eligible sophomore who only got 11 games in 2020 and had some solid stats, but was the breakout this year and the stats, you know, surprising, or was it something that, you know, you or the coaching staff, you know, kind of saw coming leading into this sophomore year?
Well, I think they expected his second season to be his, you know, kind of breakout year. They talked about him before the season, saying they'd be really disappointed if he wasn't the all-conference guy, and that's exactly what he was. I mean, for, you know, certain parts of the season, it looked like he was a contender for player of the year in the conference. Obviously, the stats at the end of the season kind of backed up all the expectations for him. Whenever I was kind of going through the stats there in the last week or two, I looked at the RBIs and it just dawned on me, 72 RBIs. I mean, that's just a lot in college. And to tie for the national lead, he really did close out strong. But prior to the season, yes, he was the coaches were really expecting him to kind of break through this year. And, you know, there were little hiccups, slow, you know, where maybe wasn't really going full speed there early on. But as the season wore on, he really got better and better.
Did they, you know, obviously they knew he was draft eligible. Did they expect to, you know, lose him as such a high draft pick, you know, after two seasons? And was that the general aura kind of around him from people that covered the team as well, that, you know, as this season built up, that he was going to get potentially picked this high?
Maybe not this high, but throughout the season, everybody knew it was a possibility just because everything he offers in terms of power, speed, just overall a good athlete with a lot of kind of a high ceiling. He's still kind of got a chance to add some muscle to his frame and stuff like that. But I think everybody it really didn't sink in that he could go pretty darn high until that regional at Oxford where he really went out there and just dominated.
Yeah, that was obviously a big part of his season where, I mean, it was just some gaudy stats against, you know, one of the right. Better pitching staffs that he faced all season. You know, obviously, you know, seeing the guys like Doug Nikhazy and others at Ole Miss, but, you know, he ends up with back-to-back four RBI games to end his career, ended up with three 4+ RBI games. Like, you know, what was that, even a different level that he seemingly took things to try and keep his career alive, basically?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was probably 2 weeks prior, whenever Southern Miss closed out the regular season with a series at Florida Atlantic. He really got rolling in that that weekend series. And that kind of, you know, in the conference tournament, he was good. You know, Conference USA in general was a really good conference this year. So they faced pretty good pitching week in and week out. He was okay in the conference tournament. But once he went up there and faced they faced Florida State twice, Southeast Missouri State, then Ole Miss twice. And really throughout the regional at Oxford, he just really hit the ball well. From both sides of the plate, everybody knows he's a little bit more of a power threat from the left side. But it seemed like as the season went on, he got a little bit better on the right side as well. So I think everything just kind of came into focus for him. And the power just really, he had a big power surge there late in the season. I think it added up to 14 RBIs there in the regional. And he just showed, you know, he never made a mistake in the outfield. Defensively, it just seemed like he tracked everything down. He came in as an infielder out of high school, and he's got that potential to where they could move him to, say, second base or something like that. But in my book, just watching the way he operates, he could play all three positions in the outfield.
Yeah, there's already been some murmurs about the Orioles potentially wanting to move him back to the infield, or at least give him a shot
right.
to kind of relearn that position. Did he play it at all, you know, in, you know, games that counted in the spring at Southern Miss, or was he mostly basically out there in the outfield in his 2 years?
Apparently he did play second base, I think, in one game, and I actually missed it. You know, I didn't realize till after the season that he had actually played one game on the infield, because every other game was played in center field. So, I mean, I think they, when, as a freshman, as a true freshman, they weren't entirely sure what they were going to do with him, but it was obvious they fit in best in center field for them, and he played well out there last year. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he's got that potential if they really want to work with him to play the infield, but he just looks so natural out there in the outfield that, you know, as a good athlete, good arm. Just really reads the ball well off the bat. I think, you know, I think right now his best position obviously is in possibly center field.
Yeah, you know, you say he can play all three outfield positions, and I know there are some guys who play center in college and get moved to a corner, but it sounds
right.
like from what you're saying, he's a guy who can stick in center field in professional baseball.
Yeah. I mean, if you watch the way he moved in the outfield in that Oxford regional, that was the most I've seen him play all season. And he really looks strong out there. He has a good arm, just moves really naturally out there. He just seems like a good fit.
I did want to ask you about the switch hitting you talked about earlier, and you said he has a little bit more power from the left side. You know, there's some
right.
guys who do switch hit where, you know, there's kind of a glaring difference between, you know, their two approaches or what they do best from each side. Is there something he may lack from one side, or do you feel like he's solid enough both ways where, you know, he'll continue as a successful switch hitter?
Yeah, I think he can be a successful switch hitter as a pro. I think maybe the more swings and the more he works with the staff there in the Orioles organization, he can maybe begin to show a little bit more pop from the right side. So I think he's definitely a switch hitter. There was no doubt that he was always a greater threat whenever he was facing a right-handed pitcher, whenever he really turned around. He's got power to all fields from the left side. I think he hit at least two out to left field in the Oxford Regional, and he was just always such a big threat whenever he was against right-handed pitching.
Yeah, with the 17 home runs on the season, obviously a big power threat. And then I did want to ask, you know, 12 stolen bases on the year. How big of a part is that of his game?
It can be, I think, more so as a pro. Southern Miss is not a team that steals a lot of bases or takes a lot of chances. You know, obviously speed at college is not necessarily equal to speed as a pro, but he's definitely got above average speed. And I think that's something that you'll continue to see once he does ink with the Orioles.
And then, you know, kind of my other thing was, you know, most of these guys, when they are in their sophomore year, but they are the draft eligible sophomore, you know, a lot of them know it and it's kind of on their mind in some way, because a lot of their teammates in their class, you know, just aren't eligible yet. And they are, do you know if it ever was on his mind and ever got to him and he was ever thinking about that, or that was just something that came up here at the end of the season and, you know, here's his name called?
No, I think for him it was something that he thought about throughout the season, but it really didn't become You know, it was obvious he probably was going to be able to get drafted in the spot where it would be really impossible for him to turn down. I think there was always the expectation this year that he would get drafted, just because as a guy that could be a 2020 guy as a pro, and he showed that he's got even the potential to kind of go beyond that in the Oxford Regional. So I think he always had it in the back of his mind, but. Talking to him about it after the Oxford Regional, it was obvious that it was kind of sinking in that there's a good chance that he may have played his last game at Southern Miss. So he really improved his chances in the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season. I don't know if I've ever seen at least a player at Southern Miss that's really kind of improved his draft stock as much as he did just over the span of 3 to 4 weeks. He really took off. He probably improved his positioning, about maybe a couple of rounds.
And that was actually, right on point with the last thing I was going to ask you, Patrick, was, this Southern Miss team had a fantastic 2021 season. But, it's not like they are producing, these top two round draft picks every single year. So compared to guys that you've seen in the past and they've had come through this program, just with the tools he had and the season he had, kind of where does he rank up with some of these guys? And did that make it, maybe sometimes just surprising how good he was when you saw him out there in a Southern Miss uniform?
Well, yeah, Southern Miss is actually on a pretty good run in terms of you have Nick Sandlin, who's in the bullpen for the Cleveland Indians.
Right.
He was drafted in the, I think it was the second or third round in 2018, and then Matt Wallner in that same, whatever they call it, the between around, the compensatory or whatever. Matt Wallner went to the Twins. Last year was a hiccup. Obviously, it was an unusual year. So Southern Miss is kind of building up a good run in terms of turning out pro prospects. I think a lot of people are going to look back at this Reed Trimble season this year as being one of the better individual performances at the plate and just really on both sides of the ball. And, he stole, 12 bases, played a really good outfield, just really was good in all aspects of the game. I think that's the one thing we'll kind of look back on it. But Matt Wallner set a pretty high bar in terms of production at the plate.
Yeah, and obviously, there was still a lot of production from Trimble as well, and that's what the Orioles are hoping. They take a little bit of a younger guy, maybe a little higher than people thought, but they obviously see a lot of potential in him, and with a guy who's hitting, as we talked about, he ended up 14 for 25 in that Oxford Regional, which definitely helps your draft stock when that's the last thing that teams see. But Patrick, thank you so much for joining us, telling a little bit more about one of the newest Orioles outfielders, and we're hoping we see him in Baltimore pretty soon, but thanks again.
All right, thanks for having me.
So we are back to the Orioles talk in just a second, but first, this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Spotify Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Orioles once a week. Yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Green Room, it's the perfect place to start or join conversations about Major League Baseball. And you'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to the big news or rumors. So go download the free Spotify Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. And follow me at Connor Newcomb to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it, as I'm planning to be live every single week. Can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Orioles, and see you there at Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. So our thanks again to Patrick McGee, who covers Southern Miss Athletics for the Sun-Herald, for joining us to talk about Reed Trimble and his, fairly quick 2-year career at Southern Miss. Of course, he came in as a true freshman in 2020 and only 11 games before COVID-19 shuts his season down. And then, he plays a full 59-game slate in 2021, but he was a draft-eligible sophomore. It has to do with your age. I believe if your birthday is before August of a certain year, he was born in June, so he is actually already 21 years old. But that has to do whether or not you're draft-eligible. He was, and obviously with that great season, the great tools he has as a switch hitter, all the power, the Orioles go and take him with the 65th overall pick. .1039 OPS, .345 average, .401 on base for him in 2021. 17 homers, 72 RBIs, which led the country, 14 doubles for him. 46 strikeouts to just 19 walks, but he did steal 12 bases. He's got some fantastic stats. And the Orioles have already talked about, you know, there was some murmurs of moving him to the infield. We heard Patrick talk about it. He has some, you know, a little bit of experience there, and it's known that he can play there. And the Orioles are already trying to make him more versatile. And, you know, that's what the O's have done with a lot of their draft picks the last couple of years under Mike Elias. And I think are already planning to get Trimble into the infield and see what he can do there, potentially at second, like he played a little bit of at Southern Miss, or potentially, at another infield position. So we do not have a signing number yet on Reed Trimble. Actually, the only two guys that have signed so far are the Orioles' top two picks. Colton Cowser signing for $4.9 million. That was about $1.2 million under his slot value. And then Connor Norby signed for $1.7 million. That was about $200,000 under his slot value. So far, it looked like the Orioles saved about $1.4 million with their top two picks. So we will soon find out who they spent that extra money on. Reed Trimble probably going to be one of those guys, because usually have to overpay a little bit for these draft-eligible sophomores, because they're so, you know, they're a little younger and they have, you know, a lot of years they could go back to in college. And they're guys who could go back, potentially get better, you know, next year in college. And, you know, he's a guy who could have come out and been a first-round pick maybe in the 2022 draft. So the Orioles probably used some of that money on Reed Trimble, but we'll wait for that full number. But, you know, from the a guy like Reed Trimble, who should be in the Orioles minor leagues, probably starting at the FCL, but maybe right to Delmarva pretty soon, to the major leagues, where the Orioles are trying to win four in a row tonight. But before we get to that, do have to tell you about another podcast here on the network. That is Locked On Bets. And betting on Major League Baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your pods. So the Orioles are right back at it tonight at the Trop. They are looking to make it four wins in a row. It's been a while since the Orioles have done that. But what makes today special? Happy John Means Day, everyone. This is a reason to celebrate. Means will officially be activated off the injured list today, and he will make his first start for the Orioles since June 5th against Cleveland, when he left the game after recording just two outs in the first inning with some shoulder tightness, and has been out essentially, you know, a month and a half since then. But Means being activated and is scheduled to start the game. What a relief it is to have John Means back in this rotation, a rotation that has really, really struggled mightily since he's been gone. Means, the 28-year-old left-hander, 12 starts for him on the year, a 2.28 ERA, 69 strikeouts in 71 innings, a 0.83 WHIP for John Means on the season. Now, we don't want to count the Cleveland start on the 5th, because he only got two outs. His last start before that was May 29th, his last full start against the White Sox, 5 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 4 Ks, and 2 walks. Really not one of his better starts of the year. You could maybe argue that, you know, it was starting to bother him a little bit there. But he will go up against the Rays, whom he has already started against once this season. They did hit him around a little bit back on May 19th in Camden Yards. I was actually at that game. That was my first game back at Camden Yards since the pandemic. Means went 6 1/3, allowing 4 runs on 6 hits. He allowed 2 home runs in the game. He did strike out 6 and walk only 1, but the Rays got to him. What ended up being a Orioles bullpen meltdown as the Rays came back and won that game. But just so happy to have it be John Means Day. But on the other side, there is another exciting left-hander who will be going for the Tampa Bay Rays, and that is the 24-year-old left-hander Shane McClanahan, who will make his 14th appearance of the year for Tampa Bay. He has a 4.05 ERA and 71 strikeouts in 60 innings so far this year for Tampa, a super hard-throwing left-handed pitcher who, in his last appearance on July 9th against Toronto, 4 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 5 Ks, and 3 walks for McClanahan. in that one. But for the rookie left-hander, it'll be his first appearance against the Orioles. And when I say he throws hard from the left side, he throws hard from the left side. A guy who will use his fastball and slider fairly evenly. And they're each about 40%. He's actually thrown exactly the same number of them this year, 390 sliders and 394 seamers. It's interesting that he does that because of what he has, you know, in that four-seam fastball. It averages 97.2 miles an hour, and he has hit 100 miles an hour many times this year. But that slider is crazy good. It's 90 miles an hour. It's kind of DeGrom-esque, but from the left side. 47 of his 71 strikeouts have come with the slider. Guys only hit 173 against it. Guys have actually hit his fastball pretty well this year. Guys hitting over 329 against the fastball, so the Orioles will look to attack that. He also tosses in a curveball about 12% of the time, and he'll throw a changeup periodically that is also about 90 miles an hour, about 10% of the time. That curveball is more of a 83-84 pitch, by far the slowest thing he throws, so should be an interesting matchup for the Orioles. But of course, it is John Means Day, so happy John Means Day to all who are celebrating today. Orioles and Rays at the Trop, a 7:10 p.m. Eastern Time start. And again, to remember, you can only watch this game live on YouTube. Now, it is free for everyone to watch on YouTube, wherever you are, no blackouts. You can watch this game on YouTube. It will be the MLB first ever broadcast crew of all women. Five women will be on the call for this game on YouTube, the YouTube game of the week. Very cool thing that Major League Baseball has decided to do, and five very deserving voices in Major League Baseball, and five women who are great at what they do and very much deserve this call, and hoping this kind of broadcast continues, not just on YouTube, but across the league. And it will be a familiar face handling play-by-play duties, Melanie Newman, who of course calls many games for the Orioles on the Orioles Radio Network, also works as a sideline reporter on Masson. She will be the play-by-play for this game. And Sarah Langs, who writes for MLB.com, who has been on this podcast once before during the 2020 season, she will serve as the analyst in the booth. And then Alana Rizzo will be the on-field in-game reporter. She has worked with the Dodgers in the past. And then Heidi Watney, of course, the former host of Quick Pitch, she will host the pre- and post-game show along with Lauren Gardner, who is the current host of Quick Pitch and is a reporter for MLB Network. So that should be fun. A lot of good voices that deserve this shot on tonight's Orioles-Rays game. And couldn't be much better spot for them. They get to celebrate John Means Day right along with us. So we'll be back with you tomorrow. We will recap the action from Tuesday night's John Means Day, and then we will continue to look at some draft picks. Tomorrow we move on to the Orioles' third round pick, the outfielder John Rhodes out of Kentucky, a pick that many people questioned a little bit. He's another younger pick, draft eligible sophomore. He's had some injury issues, and you know, his numbers weren't as gaudy this year, but we'll talk about why the Orioles took him so high in the draft on tomorrow's episode. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.